Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change?
Another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast. I am Dr. Tommy Watson, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from failure and adversity. You're going to live their best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway. We believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. You want to learn how to tell and sell your story? Go to tawatson.com under the programs and products page and click on Million Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. So, folks, are you guys ready for another amazing show today? Joining me, I have the one and only Kathy Ann Ellison. And that's Kathy Ann, all right?
Yes, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Awesome. Thanks for joining us on the podcast this morning. So, for the folks, Kathy Ann, who don't know who you are, why don't you introduce yourself to them, please?
My name is Kathy Ann Ellison. I am a fertile womb lifestyle specialist, and I came to that and the creation of my business through my fertility journey and what I had to endure and persist through in order to get on the other side and have my children.
Yes. And you're going to be inspired by her story. She's going to be telling us a lot more of that to come. If people want to get a hold of you, Kathy Ann, what's the best way to do that?
The best way to do that is either email me at flowing, that's F-L-O-W-I-N-G, flowing at fertilewomblifestyle.com. Or they can go to fertilewomblifestyle.com.
Awesome, awesome. And you coach, do you speak as well?
I don't speak publicly as much as I used to. I will be getting back into that at some point, but I do coaching. I coach women in my VIP intensive that I offer. It's a 3-hour intensive where I sit with women and I go through a process with them and they walk away with a plan of what they need to do in order to correct their fertility issues.
Wow, that's awesome. So I love it. And you'll be inspired. So folks, if you're looking for that coach out there, make sure you tap into Kathy Ann and you want to get her back on the speaking circuit as well. All right. So Kathy Ann, as you know, you know, the purpose of our podcast is to really kind of walk our listeners through some of the challenging times that, you know, our guests are faced and to talk us through some of those things. So I'm going to start with my first question. What's been the biggest obstacle you've had to come? You kind of alluded to it before. Tell us a little more about that, please.
The biggest obstacle was becoming a mother and experiencing that and what came before that actually happened for the first time. Around 1998, I went for my regular annual checkup with my OBGYN and he just looked at me, you know, while he was on my examination and he said, "You have polycystic ovarian syndrome." Wow. And that was just from looking at the fact that I had extra hair growth on my chin area, my chest area, my abdominal area. And he just said that. And no additional information, nothing to follow, just, "You have polycystic ovarian syndrome and I need you to come back on Saturday to do an ultrasound." I'm like, okay. So he set all that up and I came back, had to drink a whole bunch of water just to make sure my abdomen was, you know, kind of inflated and just out so that they can properly see my organs when they did the ultrasound. And after that process, what he told me was, "Well, your ovaries are larger than most women's ovaries. And you will not be able to have children." Wow. "And you're gonna have early menopause."
Wow.
No resources, no support, nothing to follow, just like that. And I kind of felt a little disheartened about that. You know, it was kind of, it was sad for me because I felt like, you know, I was gonna have children in the future.
Right.
So what I did with that information is I switched doctors.
Okay.
To see if I could find another doctor to, you know, help me or give me something to grasp onto, something to hold on to. And the doctor that I went to, I switched to a female doctor and I switched from him being an allopathic medical doctor to an osteopathic doctor. So I went completely opposite to see if I could get answers from a different perspective.
What's the difference between those two doctors?
Allopathic medical doctors, those are the regular doctors you see. And those are that what you, when people go to medical school, they're usually taught under the allopathic medical system. Okay. They usually don't get into like the holistic and the alternative and the wellness and how the body naturally works and how to work with that. They're basically taught how to examine you, listen to what you tell them and give you a pill to band-aid your symptoms, not to fix and correct your symptoms, but to band-aid your symptoms so you can keep coming back to them for follow-up.
Okay.
They don't look to correct or fix. So whereas from the osteopathic approach, they look at how your body works and they try to tune into what your body needs and try to help fix that at the root so you're not dealing with that issue continuously.
Wow, that's
kind of the difference with those two. So that's why I did that. And when I went to my first visit with her and I spoke with her and told her what that other doctor said, the first thing she asked me, which he never did, the first thing she asked me was, are you having a period every month? And I said, yes. She was like, well, he should never have given you that diagnosis.
Wow, really?
Because you're having a period every month. And that was information that was good to have because yeah. I didn't know at the time. I know now. But at the time, I didn't know that. I was just listening to what he said. Didn't feel right about it. So that's why I switched doctors. And I was glad I followed what my feeling and my intuition and how, you know, I connected with that information. And because of that, even though she told me that should not have been my diagnosis, she still did not give me resources. She did not give me any additional support as to try to find out what my issue was, sure, as to why I was having all this hair growth. So I did my own research and I found out it was estrogen dominance instead of PCOS.
Wow. That is awesome. And I appreciate you really being transparent and honest about that as well. You know, so when you were with the first doctor, and, you know, because I think a lot of women out there want to be able to be mothers, you know, you kind of grew up wanting to be mothers, you know, society tells you you want to be mother and what have you, mm-hmm, though. So when you heard the diagnosis from your first doctor who said you won't be a mother, man, tell us about some of the feelings and emotions that kind of went through your body.
You're taking me back there now. Like right now I feel like crying, but, yeah, it was an emotional moment for me. It was a sad moment for me. I just was like, okay, so then what? Like, what's, you know, is that just my destiny? Is that what I'm going to have to deal with? Right. Like, is there another way? Is there another solution? These are all the things that was going through my head. Like, how can I fix it?
Right.
Like, you know, what needs to happen? I just felt like I couldn't just accept that and just live in that state and live in that space. And I've met women over the years who, you know, they've been dealing with diagnoses that the doctor has given them, things that the doctor has said to them, to where they felt it's like now there's no other option, there's no more solution, there's nothing else we can do for you, and they just sit with that. They don't try to find anything alternative, they don't try to find anything different, because when you look at the medical field and what we deal with now is such a new and younger way of doing medicine. There were things happening before this was put into place the way that it's been put into place.
Sure.
A lot of the medicines and the formulas that have been created in a lab somewhere that they give you as a pill to take, as a suspension or some kind of liquid to drink, is usually based off of a medicine or some kind of plant that was used by indigenous and, you know, people who've been using this stuff for years for similar situations. Sure. So you're new on the block and you're telling me that this is my last resort, not giving me any other option.
Absolutely.
I don't get that.
Wow. You know, so what coping mechanisms did you turn to after hearing that? Because you seem very informed. You didn't stop there. So
no.
What were your coping mechanisms that you turned to kind of keep yourself saying, you know, from going into a place of discipline, what have you? Yeah.
Yeah. I have a very small circle of friends. I'm not one who has a lot of people around me because I can't take a lot of stimulation, a lot of, you know, just a lot. So my circle is pretty small. So I've spoke to others who I connected with, who I see were eating healthy and doing certain things and cleansing and detoxing. And I kind of started asking questions. I started paying attention. I started trying to find out who in my community was offering, you know, classes or weekend trainings or something when I was off work, where I can go listen and get information. I started, you know, researching and just asking questions and connecting with folks, going to the health food store, you know, reading things. So I kind of turned to the things that I felt would help me. Yeah. And one of the key things that I was taught and the key things that were shared with me that held me through my process was that your body was meant to heal itself, and that your body was meant to work the way it's supposed to work if you provide the environment and give it the things it needs in order to do that.
Well, that's good.
And that's what helped me.
Yeah, that's really good. Who was the person that gave you that type of advice?
My friend Maxine. She was actually one of my...
Maxine, shout out to Maxine. Good job.
Yes, one of my friends, Maxine. She was doing a cleanse. She was doing a detox. And she was talking about it, and I overheard her, and then I was asking her, I was like, you know, tell me more about that. Like, how did that work, and what happened, and how did you feel? So she told me, and then she connected me to the gentleman who helped her, and I connected with him. He told me what products to get, and it was a colon cleanse, cellular cleanse, just a deep cleanse process, but it was nutritional cleanse, which I'm so, so grateful that that's the way I was introduced to cleansing and detoxing, because there's so many other things out here now that people are, whew, it's just too extreme. But the way that he helped me was doing herbs and just natural things, drinking more water and just cleaning out my system, plus adding nutrients and adding the good things to it while I was cleaning it up just to keep me healthy. So I was able to do that over 2 weeks. And after that, I think I lost about 7 pounds of waste just from my colon alone.
Wow.
And then my intake of water and my appreciation for how food tasted and how water tasted was so different after 2 weeks.
Wow.
And it just grew from there.
That's amazing. So what was the time period that you went from receiving the diagnosis from the doctor to the point mm-hmm. where you actually had your first child? How long?
It was a while. Okay. Because it was 98 when he told me that I had PCOS. And it was in that same year where I switched doctors and she told me that my diagnosis was not PCOS. And then I, on my own, did research as to what was going on with me sure. and figured out it was estrogen dominance and started taking the steps of reducing my exposure to toxins and the processed foods and the ingredients in the processed food that was causing my body to react and respond that way. Mm-hmm. So that was 98. And I was getting ready to prepare to go into graduate school for occupational therapy at the time.
Okay.
So I wasn't focused on having a child at the time. I wasn't focused on that because I wanted to finish school before I started my family. I didn't want to have the stress of school and a family at the same time. So I just focused on school. So school went from 98, where I was on my prerequisites, up until 2002, December, where I completed all my requirements for my OT graduate program. Graduated from that in 2003 in the spring, we walked. So I actually didn't really start focusing on, okay, now I need to take care of me. Now I need to reset my body. I was eating healthy and doing certain things, you know, from what my friend Maxine had shared with me back then. But I was still not really focused on it until 2005, seriously and focused like I did for graduate school. Now this is my new project, kind of.
Yeah.
So 2005 was when I did that. So I cleansed, I detoxed. My period went from 5 days of pain, headache, diarrhea, back pain, laid up, curled up for 2 days, can't function unless I take ibuprofen, to where after doing colonics, taking the herbs and eating a certain way, within a couple of months, I no longer had period pain.
Wow.
I only had my period for 3 to 4 days, depends on how much I cleanse and detox. My transit time of my food, which is an important thing for women out there to understand and know, is that your constipation affects your fertility.
Wow.
Eating foods that constipate you and not having a bowel movement at least 30 minutes after you've eaten a meal, a full meal, not a snack, a full meal, not having a bowel movement within 30 minutes is not a good thing. You're constipated. And when you're constipated and your waste is not moving out on a regular basis, you want it in and you want it out. You're not going to leave the garbage sitting in your kitchen all for weeks and weeks on end and not clear out. That's going to smell. Right. Your house is going to be horrible. You're not going to like that. Your body's the same way. You want it in, you want it out. And that messes with your estrogen and your hormone levels, which messes with your fertility and your ability to get pregnant, stay pregnant. But that's, you know, that's an aside. So from that, 2005 was when I started, got better. And then I did not get into it because I was in a relationship that I ended during that time as well, like 2006. So I was single. You know, I went into a year of consecration for me from 2007 to 2008 because I had to then go through some things, look at me, look at how I played a role in all of what was going on in my life and how I can now come through and present myself wholly and fully to whoever my mate will be. Sure. I wanted to be ready for them, for whoever that person is that's going to be the father of my children. So I did my work. I did my part from mm-hmm. 2007 really seriously to 2008. And then I met my husband in 2009.
Wow.
Yes. We had two ceremonies. We had a commitment ceremony like within a month of meeting because we just knew because we that's kind awesome. Of manifested each other, wow. if you will. because we had a list of what we were looking for. And when we met, we like, okay, we asked the questions. Okay. He's like, yeah, you're the woman. I'm like, you're the, okay, that's it. So 2009, we had a commitment ceremony to say, okay, this is who I want to be with. And then we officially got legally married in 2010, June. We got pregnant in December of 2010. And then my daughter was born in September of 2011.
Wow.
So that was my timeline.
So that's 12 years.
Yeah, that's because I took my time and I had other things going on. And I wasn't focused there, but I gathered all the information and all the resources and all the things I needed to get there. And now I have that package where you can come to me and sit with me for 3 hours and get it.
And that is awesome. I can't think of nobody better to go to for that information there. You know, I didn't know a lot about the female body, but I think my wife is going to be very impressed when I come off here and break some things down to her as well. She had that schooling in there. You know, so Kathy, on your darkest day, you know, because you're talking about over a decade of going through this. So even though you had some new information, though, it didn't come to fruition for nearly a decade. On your darkest day, man, what kept you fighting, kept you going, said, I'm going to be a mother despite what this person said, despite what my body may be telling me right now, I'm going to be a mother someday. What kept you going?
Just that. The fact that in my head, I felt deep in my soul that I was going to be a mother.
That's right.
And I believed what the people who had already been in the wellness field for decades before me, who I was getting information from, I believed them. I believed what they said.
Yes.
And I believed the information and the resources that I was, you know, given.
That's right.
So that's what kept me. I was like, this is true. You know, somebody else did it.
That's right.
I can do it too. Just like when I was pregnant with my daughter, one of the things I kept saying to myself, other women have been pregnant and gone through a successful pregnancy and given birth without major complications. And I know my body will do the same. Sure. I have to remind myself of that because you get thoughts, you know, you get these different thoughts and these different things that come up to try to get you looking in a whole different direction. And I didn't let that happen. Yeah. I just was like, thank you for being here. You're not welcome here. You may leave now.
Yes.
And I just accepted the thoughts that, you know, that I wanted to be there to help me get through that process.
I love it. That's a great perspective to have. So as you think about this whole ordeal, how would you say this all shaped you as a person?
Ooh, it made me such a wonderful mother. And it made me such a patient and persistent person
as well.
Because during that whole process, like, you know, being told you're not going to be able to have children, you're going to have early menopause. And then being told that wasn't your diagnosis. And then being able to get pregnant and have that first child, you know, and then in the midst of that, part of my journey too is dealing with miscarriage. Like I had 3 miscarriages after my daughter. My daughter was born in 2011 and I had a miscarriage in 2013, 2014 and 2016. And then my son was born in 2018. So there were just things I then had to tweak and fix and look at because now I was in a whole different decade. Like my daughter was born when I was 37.
Right.
And my son was born when I was 44. So between those years, my body changed. After I hit 40, my body changed. So I had to look at, okay, there's changes in this new decade. There's different things that I need to do for me that I didn't have to do in my 30s when I was getting ready for my daughter. So I had to do different things in order to prepare to be able to have my son. And even after 3 miscarriages, where one happened after 8 weeks of pregnancy, 9 weeks, and then at 12 weeks. And the 12-week one was the 2016 one. And that was the worst one because it had already gotten further along. And I was right on the cusp of my second trimester. And it just was, that was a rough one.
Yes.
That was a rough one. Yes. And my son then held for 40 weeks and 3 days.
Wow.
Yes. He stayed extra time. He made sure that he was
going nowhere. Tell him it's time to come on, let's go.
Exactly. So yeah.
That's powerful. Again, I appreciate your honesty and transparency and sharing that as well. So as you look back on your journey, would you do anything differently?
No.
Okay, that's good.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. It made me into the person that I am today.
Yeah.
It helped me to be the mother and the wife that I am today. And I needed that then to be able to have that story, that experience, that, you know, the stresses, the you know, the ups and downs and all of it.
Yes.
To be able to now help another woman who's going through what I've been through.
That's right. That's powerful. You know, I tell my listening audience, I use ask that of everyone there. 99% of the people say no, they won't do anything different because they wouldn't be able to have the testimony they have today, though. So, and know exactly. if you're someone out there going through tough times, man, sometimes there's a lesson behind the pain as well. So, you know, Kathy Ann, we're coming off a year where people have there's some folks out there probably listening who have either lost jobs, lost loved ones, lost finances, lost confidence and hope. What can you tell those folks and let them know that a brighter day is to come?
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. A brighter day is to come. So no matter what you're going through, how things look right now, I've been through so much. You know, from how I came into this world, you know, to what I'm dealing with now. It's like you just have to see that there's something better. Yes. And then connect with those around you who you can cry on their shoulders. You can talk to them and share with them without them judging you and without them trying to give you advice every time. Just listen. Sometimes you just need someone to listen. Yes. And hear us and understand it and just allow us to go through our own process.
Yes, that's powerful and great advice, Kathy. And I really appreciate that. So folks, I hope you're inspired by Kathy Ann's story, knowledge and wisdom. Kathy Ann, if folks want to get a hold of you again, what's the best way to do that? What's the best way to get a hold of you? Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Mm-hmm. Okay. What's the best way to get a hold of you if people want to get in contact with you?
Yes. The best way to get a hold of me is to email me at flowing, F-L-O-W-I-N-G, at Fertile Womb Lifestyle. Flowing at Fertile Womb Lifestyle. You can connect with me on IG as well, and it's at Fertile Womb Lifestyle is my tag. And or you can just go to www.fertilewomblifestyle.com.
Awesome. She's made it very easy for you to get in contact with her. So if you're someone out there who's been given a diagnosis that's not favorable, connect with her. I mean, she knows the body. She knows what she's talking about. You're probably a medical doctor. You need to take that title, medical doctor, out there as well.
So Kathy, I was pre-med at one point. I wanted to become a doctor.
There you go.
Because of their approach didn't fit with me. As you can right. see, the doctor who diagnosed me was a medical doctor.
Absolutely.
And so, I went the other way.
Definitely reach out to her there. So Kathy, and we had a chance to talk about some tough stuff. You ready to have some fun?
Sure.
All right, here we go. So this portion of our show is called the Rapid Fire Purpose Questions. I'm going to ask you a number of questions about purpose. I'm not going to elaborate on the questions. I want you to give me and the audience your best answer. You ready?
Uh-oh. Yes.
All right, here we go. Kathy Ann, tell us how you have turned a dream into reality.
By staying focused and not let myself stay off track too long.
Yes. What gives your life meaning?
The fact that I can wake up and enjoy my babies and my husband every day.
Yes. If money was an issue for you, what would you do with your time?
Ooh, I would be in Barbados right now at my wellness facility retreat helping women.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, all right. What problem do you want to solve in our world? Excuse me.
Oh, my goodness. I want to help women to be their best advocate when it comes to their bodies.
Yes.
You know, show up and take and demand what your body needs and what you need for your body and not allow someone else to tell them what it is that they need. Because they know, you know, you're just scared.
That's right. What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Oh, run. I was all running. I was always playing, outside playing, climbing trees, picking fruit.
Busy, busy.
Right, yeah. There you go.
What do you wish you had more time to do?
I wish I had more time to vacation with my family.
Okay, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. What does your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
She thought she was going to be a dietitian.
Okay. Not too far off.
Not too far off.
Yeah. Who inspires you the most?
My mom. Hmm. My mom inspires me. My teenage. I was born when she was a teenager, and she just pressed forth and did all she needed to do to take care of me and just be the best mother. So wow. She's awesome. Yes.
What's your mom's name?
Every day. Her name is Tish.
Miss Tish. Shout out to Miss Tish. You're an awesome mom. We love that. We love it. We love it.
Yes.
What's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
Within the next year, I want to go to Barbados and be there for 6 months.
Okay.
Just to relax and enjoy the weather, because that's where I was born. So
yeah. I think some of us would want to join you on a trip there. Yeah. What's something about yourself that we might be surprised to learn about you?
I spent 8 years in the military.
Okay. What branch?
Army. And that's how I got into occupational therapy and being a medic.
All right.
And nursing as well.
Thanks for your service. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
Oh, making jewelry by hand. Wire jewelry.
Look at her. She does a little bit of everything. Everything. She's doing it. What do you want your grandchildren to say about you?
Ooh, baby, yes. I want them to say that my grandmother was powerful. She was unapologetic, and she did what she had to do to help herself, her family, and other women out there to stand up for themselves.
That's what I'm talking about. You guys didn't see that unless you watched the video, but she got the neck rolled and everything. Yeah, I like that. Good. Good stuff. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
My superpower will be the ability to keep people calm and focused.
Okay.
Because so many people out here get stressed so easily, and they get, you know, they lose sight of what they're supposed to focus on because they're so like anxious and just stressed out. I would like to be able to walk around, just touch you on the shoulder and calm you down so you can focus and get the task done.
That's a good one. You'd be a trillionaire many times over with that one right there. Yeah. What do you like to learn about?
I like to learn about the body and how the body works, especially the mind, like the nervous system and just how our brains work. That's like my thing.
I love it. I love it. What sparks your creativity?
Just the fact of knowing that when I create something, it's going to help somebody else.
Yes.
So that's like a spark for me. It's kind of like a muse kind of thing. It's just knowing that when I'm sitting and I'm creating, and I'm thinking of stuff, it's going to help somebody else be better or do better or have, you know, something better in their life.
Absolutely. Love it. If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
Woo-wee. Men need to take their hands off of women's health.
Yeah. Yeah. Off of women's health, period.
Yes.
Yes, there you go.
Period. Not, yeah, just period. Because you have these men who don't look like women and who've never experienced what women go through, trying to tell women what they should do and how they should do stuff. And then they don't give us the, you know, the resources that we need in order to take care of what we need to take care of. But yeah, that's a whole other story.
Great point. They need to probably be schooled up by you and they probably do a better job. Yes. Mm-hmm. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
Ooh, I would love to be able to follow Michelle Obama around.
Yes.
A day. And why? Because she seems focused and she seems like she's a woman who knows what she wants.
Yeah.
And she, you know, is not going to power herself through to get it, but she'll be persistent and, you know, focused in getting it.
Yes. What do you love to do for others?
I love to provide a space for others to heal and for others to feel, you know, loved.
Good. What's been the best compliment you've ever received?
People tell me my eyes are beautiful. I get that a lot, so let's go with that.
What's one thing you have never been afraid to do?
I've never been afraid to do what I want to do.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm. And take risks.
What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
From childhood, I'm most proud of when I went from, because in Barbados, we do not have middle school. We have elementary, which we call primary school, and then we have secondary school. I am proud of when I transitioned from primary school to secondary school at 12, which is basically high school in other worlds.
Yes.
And I was able to graduate from high school, technically secondary school, at 16.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. Yes, mm-hmm. Very impressive.
So that's what I'm proud of.
What does success look like for you?
Man, success looks like working 3 days a week, being able to... spend time and raise my children in the best way possible and leave a legacy that their grandchildren would be able to benefit from.
I love it. What are you most grateful for?
I am grateful that I am able to create and be, a facilitator and a support for women who don't know and have the answers yet as to how they need to take care of their health.
Yes. What has been the biggest lesson that you've learned in life?
I've learned that there's this saying, I don't know where it comes from. You have two ears and one mouth.
Yes.
So you have to listen.
Our mamas, that comes from our mamas.
So that's been the biggest lesson. Like, I listen more than I speak. I'm always quiet. I'm always the one who is a group of us, and I'm always the one who doesn't speak as much. I'm listening. I'm paying attention to everybody else. So that's one of the things I've learned as a child. You know, that's something that I did it because I didn't want to talk to a lot of people. It's just too stimulating. So as an adult now, I love that I'm able to listen more than I speak, so that when I speak, people pay attention.
Yes, great.
I don't speak. Yes.
I'm still working on that one, Kathy. And I'm working on that.
Well, we all have our own gifts, and that's yours. Like, my husband is a talker. You know, nobody's a stranger to him. He can talk to anybody. I call him a social butterfly. So.
He and I will be good friends. I have to meet him one day. We're gonna be good friends. Yeah.
There's a lot of his story in your story.
Really?
So you know.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to connect about that. I love it.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Last but not least, Kathy Ann.
Yes, sir.
How do you want to be remembered in history?
I want to be remembered as the little girl from Barbados who traveled the world and helped women to take care of their wounds and to have a healthy lifestyle.
Wow, that is awesome. Give yourself a round of applause. You survived, Kathy Ann.
I did. This was awesome.
Great job. I really appreciate you sharing your story with us. Folks, hopefully you're inspired by Kathy Ann out there. Again, Kathy Ann, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
The best way is to go to IG and go to @FertileWombLifestyle, or you can go to www.fertilewomblifestyle.com or email me at flowin@fertilewomblifestyle.com.
That is awesome. So if you're looking for a coach, a speaker, we're going to get her back on the speaking circuit out there. Get her back out there in the speaking circuit. And Kathy Ann, you wrote a book as well. What's your book?
I did write a book. It has nothing to do with the female health part. It has to do with health. It was a book I wrote about 10 years ago. It's called Forget the Diet, 10 Key Steps to Living Your Holistic Lifestyle from the Inside Out. And it's biblically based, and it's based in facilitating your natural flow and connection of your body and how you should eat on a regular basis
love
to be healthy.
You got to promote that more, man. That's, people love that. Forget the diet. Scrap it. Yes, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Again, Kathy Ann, I really appreciate you sharing your knowledge and wisdom with us and your experience. And you're an overcomer for sure. You know,
Thank you. Our
podcast focuses on two things, purpose and resiliency. So as we get ready to wrap things up, what last thoughts can you leave our audience with around purpose and resiliency?
With regards to purpose, that's something you have to connect and you know, just know what your purpose is. Because one of the things I did in order to figure out my purpose was I read the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. I believe it's Rick Warren who wrote that book.
Absolutely.
And me and a sister from the church I was going to at the time, we read it together and we supported each other. So we would read one day and then we would meet on the phone. We would discuss what we felt, how it felt about to us and what we're going to do, you know, and going through the steps with that. And we did that. And that was an awesome experience for me. And that was back when in 2005 that I mentioned when I was getting ready to really seriously go into taking care of my health.
Yes.
And that was what I did at the beginning to kind of spark and jump me into what I was going to do next. And that's how I got into the health coaching and the wellness because I figured that was my purpose, the health and the coaching and the wellness. I needed to go through it first so I can then share and help others. So that, you know, purpose, being persistent, having the resources, having somebody to support you, and, you know, help you through it.
Absolutely.
And then with resiliency, that was part of my fertility journey. So it's like my life went from the purpose to the resiliency.
Yes.
And then during the fertility journey, it was a matter of being persistent and being patient.
Yes.
And not trying to force the process, because we can try to force and fix and try to make things look the way we think it should look based on what we see other people doing, but just allow your process to happen. You know, get the support you need and allow your process to happen.
Well, that is great advice, folks out there. Your purpose comes before resiliency, and your resilience is going to help you get to your purpose as well. So they go hand in hand. So again, Kathy Ann Ellis, yes, it's a circle. Can't thank you enough for being on the show, sharing your story with us. Very inspiring. Folks out there, if you are someone who has an amazing story of overcoming, we want to hear from you. We ask you to go to tawatson.com, share your story with us, subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories, download this episode, rate it, share it with your folks on social media out there. And everyone, want to thank you guys for tuning in today. Thanks, God bless, peace, and deuces, everyone.
Yours truly, Dr. Watson.